We've got somebody's got a reading from Psalm 41 to 8. And just while Jenny reads this, each of the candidates this morning can vouch for the accuracy of what we're going to hear now.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. He stood me on a rock. He made my feet steady. He put a new song in my mouth. It was a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship him. Then they will trust the Lord. Happy is the person who trusts the Lord. He doesn't turn to those who are proud, to those who worship false gods. Lord, our God, you have done many miracles. Your plans for us are many. If I tried to tell them all, there would be too many to count. You do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you have made a hole in my ear to show my body and my life are yours. You do not ask for burnt offerings and offerings to take away sins. Then I said, look, I have come. It is written about me in the book. My God, I want to do what you want, and your teachings are in my heart.
Thank you. You rescued us from the pit. As we move through life, we often find ourselves with having the experience of being in a pit. And the Lord reaches down and brings us up and says, you can have life. Not just life, but life in all of its fullness. Hallelujah. Where are we now? So we've got Hayden's choice of song now. Build your kingdom here. Is that right, Hayden? Build your kingdom here. Sing it loud and strong for Hayden. Build your kingdom here. Let's stand and sing. Please be seated. You know, people come to Jesus from all sorts of backgrounds. All sorts of circumstances, people come to Jesus, all sorts of situations. There's no unique way. It's unique for the person, but there are many and various ways of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read now from Acts 16. We find in this reading that Paul, who used to be an opponent of Christianity, but now is actually preaching the gospel, he finds himself in prison because of preaching the gospel. And just listen to this dramatic account of what happens, Paul, and particularly to the jailer, as Graham reads this for us.
The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was carefully commanded to guard them. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Very dramatic conversion of a jailer in Paul's imprisonment. So what must I do to be saved? Well, I think I need to say first of all that no one is born a Christian. And we're not Christians by association either. We become Christians by a very individual and personal acceptance of the person of Jesus. One becomes a Christian through becoming part of a community with a distinctive way of life involving a definite ethical and creedal commitments. This acceptance says, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe when you say who you are. And I believe that through your death and through your resurrection, you've made it possible for me to see God. To see God as my Father. And for me to enter right into the heart, into his heart, and be loved personally. And in that state, I can grow. I can become mature. I can become the complete person that God had always planned for me, even before I was physically born. He knows the person that we can be. He knew it before we were born. So why isn't everybody up for this Jesus business? It does, at the end of the day, seem to be a win-win situation. It seems a pretty good deal. Why doesn't everyone take it up? Well, I suspect we could draw up a long list of reasons for not accepting Jesus. But how helpful is it to produce a list of reasons for not doing something? How helpful is such a list? I want to quote from St. Augustine in stating what I think is the best reason I've come across for giving God a chance. The best reason. St. Augustine, he says this of God. He made us for himself. He made us for himself. And our hearts are restless until we find rest in him. You know, whatever you think, whatever your parents might tell you, you're not an accident. None of us are born as an accident. God created us, and he has a purpose for us. And indeed, our hearts are indeed restless until we find rest in him. You know, the truth is that we may seek rest and look elsewhere for rest. Look elsewhere for fulfillment. Look elsewhere for peace. Look elsewhere for commitment. Look elsewhere for a purposeful living. And yes, we may find that those things temporarily in things like riches or sex or work or alcohol or drugs. But how often have you heard it said by people who have an abundance of all of these things that something is still missing in their lives? You heard that being said? I have many times. See, that for them, life is still found with the abundance of material things. That life is not satisfying. That indeed, something is missing. I want to say to you this morning that if this is you, if you feel something missing in your life, and you want to make it complete, just ponder over those words of St. Augustine. God made you for yourself, for himself, and our hearts will be restless till it finds rest in him. You know, some of us might find and reach out to God as young people like Sarah and Hayden. Maybe some a little older like Paul. In my own case, I didn't become a Christian until I was middle-aged. There's no one way. There's no right time. God just touches us when we need to be touched. Remembering that he made us for himself. He's never going to give up on you. He made us for himself. And we will be restless until we find rest in him. You know, people have, for many generations, have found this to be true. And it's good to acknowledge that people have, throughout all generations, have found their lives complete by resting in Jesus. We heard how the Roman jailer, in the most unique and unlikely situations, found Jesus 2,000 years ago. You've heard how Seren and Hayden and Paul have found Jesus in this generation and many others. I've read recently where Generation Z, that's the younger generation, are increasingly turning their backs on a holistic style of living. They are coming to realize in quite some numbers that the materialistic way of living is not satisfying, and they are turning to spirituality. And I'm grateful for that. But when you do turn to Jesus, when you do accept him into your life, Scripture says that we are born again, a new creation, a new birth, this time not born physically, but a spiritual rebirth. And it's happening all over the world. It's happening in your town. It's happening throughout the country. It's happening all over the world. And some people might hear the message and hear that call by an inadequate preacher in some small church somewhere. Maybe somebody sitting very lonely in a prison cell. It may be someone in the quietness of their own bedroom at night. There's no one way. It's maybe some through pain and suffering or bereavement, as we've just heard from Paul, in the circumstances of life. But wherever and however God finds you, he steps in. He bursts into your soul. He brings forgiveness. He brings cleansing. He brings peace. He brings a whole new perspective and dimension for living. And from that moment, you are newly born. You know, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're a peasant farmer from the third world or the richest and most influential businessman from the West, it really doesn't matter. Scripture paints the same picture. Scripture says, a new creation is born. All things have passed away. Hallelujah. All things have passed away and new things have come. There's a new hope. There's new attitudes. There's new feelings. There's new direction. Our candidates this morning have testified to the reality of that message for them. But people like you and me, and that people like you and me are added to the kingdom every day. So I want to say to you this morning, what is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to you this morning about citizenship in his kingdom? What is he saying to you personally? What's that quiet but almost painful voice inside you saying? What is it saying? And I want to ask you, are you going to respond to that voice this morning? Is there going to be a difference in your life from today? Because you want to find out more. And finally, I just want to say that being born again and being a Christian, it doesn't make you perfect. Oh, if it did, it doesn't make you perfect. It just means you're forgiven. So I want to say to you this morning, don't put an excessive burden on Surin or Hayden or Paul to be perfect, because that's not how it works. Don't put an extra burden on each other to be perfect if you know Christ. That's not how it works. We will all fall down from time to time. And that's why the Bible talks a lot about forgiveness. Forgiveness for those of us who fall down, and often time and time again. You know, I haven't said so much about Sarah and Hayden and Paul this morning. You might think there's something special about them, that they have been led to this point in their lives because of some special treatment that God has bestowed upon them, that they've been selected and led down a spiritual path, and the rest of us are left outside to get on the best that we can. Well, God doesn't work like that, amen. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't love Sarin, Hayden and Paul any more than he loves you and the person sitting next to you. And the other thing I want to say is that Sarin, Hayden and Paul didn't put themselves right before they give their lives to the Lord. Often people do say, oh, the Lord wouldn't accept me because look how I live, look at the things I do. Maybe if I put myself right, then I'll come to the Lord. Then I'll come to the Lord. I'll be more acceptable to him. That's a really distorted way of looking at it. You know, if you were physically sick, would you say, I'll wait until I'm well and then I'll go to the doctors? You go to the doctors at your worst, at your very worst, and you seek his treatment. We go in the middle of our illness when we're at worst and we seek our help. You see, God wants us at our worst. He wants us at our worst. And with him, he promises to bring us good health. And finally, I want to say, if God's been speaking to you this morning, please speak to me or one of the leaders of the church here before you leave. Remember, no one's born a Christian. It requires a personal and individual choice. And remember that Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiveness. And I want to implore you to seek God while you can, because no one's guaranteed a tomorrow. No one's guaranteed that. No one's guaranteed a tomorrow. And the opportunity presented to you today may be lost for all time. Let us just spend a few moments in reflection, and then I'll pray. Lord, we thank you that you give everything so that we might have life and life in all of its fullness. Lord, bring us to that place where we understand that and we want to respond to it. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.